What's up, y'all, and welcome back to Dad Needs to Talk. I'm your host, Robert, and today I'm going to be talking about a new animated series on Netflix called Blue Eye Samurai. Now, Blue Eye Samurai just dropped in the last week or so. Like I mentioned, it's on Netflix. It is 8 episodes long, and the episodes run roughly 40 minutes to an hour, give or take. You know, it kind of varies from episode to episode. Now, this series was, in my eyes, phenomenal, super awesome. And I don't even really know where to start. But I guess I kind of start with this. So the series is co-written by, let me get the right names, or co-created by, I believe it's a husband and wife duo, Michael Green and Amber Noizumi. Now, Michael Green, he was like a writer or co-writer on both Logan and Blade Runner 2049. He also, back in the day, worked on one of my favorite series back in the day, which has a tie-in with one of the voice actors for this, Heroes. I don't know if many of y'all remember that TV show from the early 2000s. So when this was kind of first put on my radar a while back, I was like, okay, I love my samurai stuff. This looks kind of cool from the little bit I saw in the trailers or whatever. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. And immediately out the gate in that first episode, I was like, yeah, this is my jam. This is what I like. This is what I like. And so with Blue Eye Samurai, we basically follow our main character, Mizu, who I guess in this setting of Japan, this takes place during the Edo period. I believe it was during the Tokugawa era in the 17th century. Yeah. To where basically Japan's borders were more or less closed. Kind of like a Wano for my One Piece fans. To where basically all outside interactions with any foreign nations, people, whatever, were super restricted and pretty much forbidden, to where pretty much nobody from outside of Japan is coming in and nobody from Japan is leaving. But the Shogun still kind of secretly had some dealings going on with four white European men who were still able to kind of illegally do stuff within the country, from, you know, drugs, sex trafficking, all those different things, weapons, all that stuff, whatever. And that is kind of how our main character came to be, because she's born half blood. So she's half European, half Japanese, and pretty much seen as a monster, as a mixed breed demon, by most of the people that she encounters and stuff along the way. And because of the discrimination and stuff like that or whatever, she spends most of her life dressed up like a man, just to help disguise herself. She has these very dope glasses that she wears that kind of give me some good old Trigun vibes or Vesha Stampede vibes for my Trigun fans. So this story is pretty much a story of vengeance, as she is on a journey to basically trying to find the people who trying to track down these four men, trying to figure out who is her father and who is also responsible for the death of family and people close to her or whatever, and just all the pain and torment that she's gone through her whole life. And so from start to finish, I would say this show had me engrossed the whole way through. Like, something about the visual style, the art style of it, was truly stunning and something like very unique looking. I saw somebody mention that the art style of it kind of made them think about the game that came out, I believe, last year called Sifu, which is kind of like a martial arts style game. So it's kind of like that kind of art style a little bit. Kind of painterly, like some, a little mix of kind of like some like watercolors sometimes. But just truly like the colors are popping in this show. It also just made me miss playing Ghost of Tsushima for anybody that played that game last year. It just really put me in the mind frame of like, man, I would love if they turned Blue Eye Samurai into a video game, because man, just the whole time I'm watching it or whatever, I'm like, this would be so dope to play, because aside from how visually stunning it is, the action scenes were fantastic. The action scenes were off the charts, and how they did the fight choreography was truly something special. Like, this is a video that they put together kind of showing some of like the fight choreography and stuff and how the actors and stuff did it, and like, it is super cool, super dope, man. Yeah, it like the action, like every time there was action going on, man, it was just like, yo. Like, I don't know, my jaw was just stunned every time I saw the fight scenes and stuff. And so all of that mixed with also another very key important element of stuff that I enjoy, the story and the characters, because a lot of the characters that Mizu encounters along the way all are interesting, all have their own different struggles and journeys and goals and dreams that they're trying to achieve. And seeing how their paths intersect with Mizu's and how they might, you know, clash with each other or help each other or whatever the case may be was really awesome to see. And just watching the growth of everybody across the board was super fantastic to get to watch. Overall, like, I'll say this season did a fantastic job of having a overall arc, but I will say for sure is that they set up more to come, and I'll touch on that in a little bit when I dive into specific spoilers, but right now I'm keeping it spoiler free. But there's definitely more to come, and that is very exciting, and I hope that it gets greenlit for another season. It seems like it's doing, at least, it's getting a decent amount of buzz. That is one of the reasons why I am doing my review and impressions of it, because I want to do my part to try to help spread the word of how great and how fantastic this series is. Another important element of this is the antagonists and people that Mizu have to fight and clash with along the way. One of the main ones, his name is Fowler. That dude, every time he has an encounter or meeting with somebody, he is not afraid of the smoke. For real, he is not afraid to get his hands dirty. He's not just one of these dudes that just like sits behind the scenes and just watch stuff play out or whatever. It's like, no, if he has to get in and scrap and get his hands dirty, he is efficient with the sword. He's efficient with the pistol. Like, this dude, he is big, strong. He ain't afraid to smack you around. He don't care if you man, woman, child. He'll smack you around and laugh at you the whole way through. But all in all, I feel like this was a really solid package. Like I said, once again, visuals on point. The music, super dope. Like, I love the kind of like reverberating sound from her sword, because her sword was kind of made out of this kind of like special metal, is all I'll say on that. And every time it kind of like gets like banged, it's like a reverberating sound. And even just like all the sounds of like the swords and stuff in general, when they get unsheathed, just like the little slight vibrations in the sound effects, whatever. And like I said again, the fight choreography and stuff was top notch, and the overall story was well told and kind of kept me on my toes and kept me on the edge of my seat, because there were plenty of times where I was like, okay, you know, this storyline is done, or this character is done, or whatever, or this person's going to go this route, and they end up exceeding my expectations and, you know, changing it up, doing something different than expected, and everything in between along the way in a fantastic way. And so that is one of the reasons why I highly recommend Blue Eye Samurai. Like I said, it's on Netflix, 8 episodes long, 40 minutes to an hour a piece. Do not let this one pass you by, like I said, especially if you're into like Edo period style, samurai stuff with sword fighting and stuff. Like, I feel like you're going to love it. So, highly, highly, highly recommend. Now, I'm going to touch on a few slight spoilers. Just because it's like a few specific things I want to touch on. So, this is your chance now. If you don't want to hear any specific spoilers, I'm going to keep it kind of short and as light as possible. Skip ahead to the very end. Or, hey, thanks for watching. I'll catch you in the next one. Make sure to subscribe, support me, yada, yada, yada. So, this show overall, like, I don't even know. You know what? I'm going to start at the end. So, that final fight and stuff with Mizu versus Fowler was so freaking cool. Just seeing, just constantly throughout this show, the lengths, sometimes stupidly, Mizu would go through to try to get to her goals and stuff, regardless of the collateral damage she is causing along the way. Because like the very end was like the biggest example of this, to where, and I'm so happy I got these screenshots to like perfectly illustrate this, of like this beautiful shot of like how the castle and everything is so lush and green and beautiful looking. And of course, I love the shot of this, like kind of showdown between Mizu, Taizen, and Fowler. And then I love the split shots where Taizen with the kind of like greenery behind him. And then, what is the princess's name? Akemi, with the flames and stuff behind her. And this was another great moment. And then just like seeing this whole great city just reduced to embers and ash and flames. But that whole final fight and confrontation was super dope, super cool. And I love how, and it's as expected, because Fowler is the type of dude that, of course, hey, he is going to smooth talk his way out of the situation or out of his own death, to where he's like, you the one out who took out old dude. Well, hey, if you want to find the other two, you need me, because they weren't out here, all out here in the spotlight, flashy like me and the other one. They kind of underground behind the scenes. They doing worse stuff than we doing. But, you know, I got a special word for you that you're probably not familiar with because of, you know, you only being here. And that word is London. And so when we see the final kind of shot of Mizu with Fowler in a kind of like a holding cell on a boat going across the ocean, I'm like, yo, I cannot wait. And like seeing how Fowler was moving and how he was, like, I can't wait to see how these other two characters go and stuff. So yeah, so that was a very dope setup. Kind of going back a bit, Akemi, her arc was super cool to watch unfold because she was definitely a character to where it was like, okay, going one way, because she kind of talked to her father into letting her marry the samurai guy. Of course, Mizu messed up that situation with her beating him in a duel or in a fight or whatever. And then seeing Akemi and the, I think his name was Siku, was the old guy that was kind of looking after Seki. Kind of them going on their little journey and stuff with her trying to find Taigen and stuff. And then her about to marry the Shogun's son. And then her finding that fiery passion to want to actually be a ruler, not to run away, to finally to make her own choice or whatever. Her arc was super cool. Taigen's arc was super cool as well. Still kind of wondering, like, okay, is him and Mizu going to end up together at the end? You know, when this is all said and done, it's kind of set up for that way, potentially. Speaking of Mizu, I love how at first you kind of think that she more or less, after her mother, quote unquote, died when she was a child, or supposedly died, that she just, you know, spent those years alone with the swordsmith and stuff, being raised, and then that was it. But learning that she found her, who she thought was her mother again, and then got married and had this life for seemingly some, at least like some years or whatever, and then watching that fall apart, and then seeing her husband after she gets ambushed at the house, and then seeing the husband kill the mom, and then she killed, and then Mizu killed the husband. It was just like, yo, the tragedy, and how they kind of paralleled that moment with this kind of like telling of this stage play, along with the current day situation, to where she had to take out all these dudes that was trying to attack the brothel or whatever. It was that whole episode, I think it was like episode 5, was just like super fantastic. Of course, I got a shout out, Ringo. Super fun character, super interesting character, and insightful. And the thing that made me love him even more is when I discovered that his voice actor is Masi Oka, who is the main, one of the main characters in the TV show I mentioned earlier, Heroes. He's the, for those of you who don't know who he is, he's the Asian guy in Heroes, who is kind of like I said, like the main character, or like the main person you're following around. But yeah, but all in all, like, the full cast, all the characters that you meet along the way were super dope. There were so many just like twists and turns and jaw-dropping moments and stuff. Just like too many to count. And like I said, I hope that Mizu hopefully has learned from this experience, and maybe especially going to a foreign land, hopefully she learns some more caution, not to be running in head first into all these situations. And of course, I also got to shout out the freaking the sword maker, her sword master, who they also call the sword father, and how he, you know, he was blind, and all he cared about was the work she put in as a child and growing up. And I loved how he used, you know, him making swords for different people, how he always had to learn how the people moved and used their sword techniques and stuff before he could force them a weapon, and how Mizu was always lurking in the bushes or hiding to study, to learn. And then she would take those sword techniques and learn them and stuff. And so over all these years, she learned all these different sword and fighting styles or whatever. And so, yeah. But all in all, I can keep going on. But, you know, like I said, I want to save something for y'all to go and watch with the show. But like I said, all in all, I am just so happy that I gave this show a shot and that I circled back to it and stuff. Because like I said, it was truly, truly something fantastic. And like I said, I truly hope that it's not a super long time before we get confirmation of another season. Because like I said, this show definitely deserves it. And I look forward to it whenever that happens. And so, So that's going to do it for my thoughts in this review discussion. I hope you enjoyed it. I wish I would have mentioned up top another disclaimer with the show too, is that it is very adult. And I don't mean just in the blood and violence, but in the sexuality, nudity and stuff. Like, they show full nudity, both men and women. So you seeing everything from the top down. So you see the peaches, as they call them, and you see the sausage downstairs. You see everything. You see them having sex, the whole shebang. So just know that going in, like I said, it's not just it's a bloody show or whatever. I can watch this out in the open, you know, just in case, hey, if you got kids around, or, you know, you just never know. I forgot to mention that disclaimer up top. This is definitely very mature rated, but like I said, one that I hope that y'all will take a look at and check out. And so, yeah, so let me know what you thought of this review. Let me know what you think of Blue Eye Samurai. Have you checked it out? If you did you enjoy it as much as I did? Do you have any critiques or anything you want to praise about it? Let me know. Like I said, you can find me everywhere at Dad Needs to Talk. And like I said, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Or if you're listening to the audio version of this, make sure you're following on whatever your favorite podcast services is. And make sure to check out everything else that I do here. My reviews and discussions, talking about everything from life, manga, anime, TV, and video games. And with that, I'm out. Have an awesome day, and I'll catch you in the next one. Peace.